Well, this morning's reading is taken from Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 to 38, and you can find that on page 4 of your service sheets or on page 974 in the Pew Bibles. So that's Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 to 38. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Great. Thank you very much, Dave. Well, do keep that Bible passage open in front of you. We'll be coming to it in a second or two. But on this Vision Sunday, I wanted us to start the service, as I said, by giving thanks. I'm really grateful to Johnny for doing that for us, for leading us in praise and thanksgiving to the Lord, for all the people, because that's ultimately what church family, what God's church is all about. That verse I read at the beginning, when it speaks of God's church, it's his people. For new people who have come to our church family, for those who have been converted, who have become Christians, for those who have come from other churches already well grounded in the faith and able to join us hitting the road running, for staff who have come over the last 10 years to join us. I give great thanks to God for all of those people. For resources, for the buildings that we have, which are very sort of good for serving our church family in lots of ways. For the finances, as we've heard about, and God's provision, particularly of that very generous legacy. For our partnership with the school. For ministry that we have here, ministry to all ages. From seniors' teas and the midweek Wednesday communion, right the way through to Noah's Ark and Saturdays. For our Sunday services, our midweek events and activities, our one-off events throughout the year, our regular courses, our home groups giving discipleship, or our evangelistic courses like Christianity Explored. There's so much to give thanks for over the last 10 years, because March the 31st, we'll see my 10-year anniversary of being licensed here at St. Andrew's. And so that's why I said this Vision Sunday is a bit different than usual. It's not just looking back 1 year, looking forward a year, but it's more looking back 10 years and looking forward, well, 5, 10 years as well. It's also a good time to do that, we realise, as a staff team, because of what's happened in COVID. So COVID has reduced what we've actually been able to do as a church family. It's meant that we've stopped doing some things or reined in a few things. And therefore, it's a really good time just to go through everything that we do together as a church family, all our priorities, the ethos that we maintain, and to ask those questions. You know, what have we ended up doing over the last 10 years that I've been here that maybe isn't quite right anymore, and things like that. So hopefully it's a really God-given, opportune moment for us to ask those questions. And as a staff team, we went through and thought of everything that we could to do with church life. And we came up with a list of over 80 events, activities, services, all those kind of things. So we are a busy church in lots of ways. And maybe that's a little question in itself. And there are challenges coming up. So you may not know, but Johnny is only with us for a few years, 4 max, and he's over halfway through that. He's been signed off by the diocese, which means he is now free to leave if he finds a job at any stage. I don't think he's in a huge rush to do so, but he will be going in the next 18 months. It's likely that Joe, who's now an ordinand, is training to be a curate and then a vicar. That's a 2-year course, and he's already nearly halfway through that. So he'll be off within 18 months. So the staff team is going to look very different by this time in 18 months. Also, we've heard about our financial challenges and the way that event horizon of the legacy money running out is approaching. And most of that £50,000 difference between income and expenditure is taken up by paying for our staff, as in Michelle and Beth, and what we give away to mission partners. And I doubt any of us want to lose any of those things, but they would be the first things that were sort of more negotiable and expendable than others, sadly. That's just the way life is, isn't it? And so that's a challenge for all of us, because we want to maintain our church life in the way that things are at the moment. Back in 2013, after I'd been here for a couple of years, the PCC sat down and thought about a mission statement. You might have seen it on the bottom of the notice board out in the churchyard. I expect some of you maybe have never seen or heard it at all, because we don't talk about it much, but I think you'll agree that it is still very relevant. And so here we go. This is what it is: loving God, sharing Christ, serving people in Ashton. Loving God is at the heart of everything that we do. We know that He has loved us so greatly that we want to respond in that love to Him. A key way that we do that is by sharing Christ. And I'm not just talking about verbally, I'm talking about in every single way. Sharing Christ as He shared Himself with us by coming into our world to be our Savior, to live, die, rise again, and ascend to His Father's hand in glory, and then send His Spirit. That is what sharing Christ is all about. And I expect every healthy church would sign up to those two things. Our particular distinctive is serving people in Ashton. We see ourselves as a very local parish church. Most people here this morning live in our parish. I expect an awful lot watching online do as well. The geographical area that in the Church of England is given to us to particularly care for. And we see that very strongly, not least because of our connection with the school next door. One question is that still what we're about? And certainly early discussions would seem to agree that is still what we want to be about. We want to tweak it a little bit, tighten it, focus it a little bit more. But I don't think we've deviated much from that essential ethos and goal. So let's just turn to Matthew 9 again and just think about those two pictures that the Lord Jesus used, just to continue to realign our vision. The first picture there is all about seeing with Jesus' heart. So Jesus spoke, didn't he, about looking out on a crowd of people and seeing them as sheep without a shepherd, harassed and helpless. So Jesus came into this world, verse 35 tells us, he came as the all-powerful Messiah, the one sent from God, doing miracles and proclaiming the kingdom like no one had ever done before, bringing God's kingdom into people's lives, restoring the brokenness and fallenness of the world. But he sees the crowds in front of him. And these are the crowds around his hometown of Nazareth. I expect they were pretty regular people. Like if you were to go into the park around now, it's great, isn't it? You go to the park and it's just full of people doing exercise. It's a wonderful thing. You bump into all sorts of people you know and new people, sort of bump in a metaphorical sense 2 meters away. There's lots of people out there, all sorts of people. That was the kind of crowd that Jesus was looking at. This wasn't a particularly ragtag bunch. It was just the people who lived there. And yet he describes them as sheep without a shepherd, as harassed and helpless. Well, move to today and think about our community. Maybe not so much the people you might bump into in Haslam Park, but the people, if you walked around all the streets of our parish, and the kind of folk you would bump into, or maybe you can just be aware of what is going on behind some of the front doors. A few of us have had the privilege of being able to give out parcels of food from school to families who are particularly needful of that support at the moment. And are maybe a little bit more aware of some of the issues that are being faced and challenges, even in our parish, even in Leafy Ashton. If the crowds then were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd, as we come out of COVID, how much more is our society today harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd? I mean, in terms of physical, social, mental, financial statistics, it's going to be more true, isn't it? But actually, Jesus isn't supremely talking about what he can see with his eyes. But as I said, it's what he sees with his heart as the one who came into this world full of compassion, this wonderful book a number of us have been reading that the Men's Breakfast is focusing on, gentle and lowly, focusing on Jesus being the one who came with this heart that looked at people and saw right into their hearts, into their souls, and saw their spiritual status as being harassed and helpless, as spiritual sheep without a shepherd. As the book says, the heart of Christ for sinners and sufferers. That is supremely why Jesus came, and that is still the case today, isn't it? Very definitely. And that is what we want to be all about. And actually, just as God would have it, a few little things have begun to start for us as a church family, even before we went into this process, which might be things that we want to consider continuing with. As we see with Jesus' heart, as we look out with compassion, if he was gentle and lowly, how much more gentle and lowly and humble should we be? So you might have heard Franco talking about Safe Families a little while ago, a Christian organization, charity, that looks to put Christians in churches in touch with people in our community who are suffering in some way, who need help. Well, that's going to be all the more true now, isn't it? Maybe that's something of God that he's given us, an opportunity, a door to be opening up. I know a few have registered some interest in that already as well, alongside Franco. Through school, before the COVID all came along, they were thinking about being involved with this organization called Fair Share, who provide food to schools that they can then pass on to families in one way or another. And Mr. Martland wanted us to be involved as a church, helping with that. More in terms of people help than financial or anything like that. And that's where the food has been coming from that we've been able to take out during the lockdowns to the local families. Maybe that's just another opportunity, because sometimes we want to help people, don't we? But we don't know who to help, how to find the people who need help. Well, here's two organizations that might help us in that. And it's interesting, isn't it? This Christmas, what did we end up doing? Well, we had the online Christingle. We had some carol services in the building that were reasonably similar to normal. But we did one thing we've never done before, which was to go out into our parish singing, carol singing, around the parish. And many of us found that a great blessing and a great encouragement to be out there proclaiming Christ in our neighborhoods. And maybe that was another little push from the Lord of the kind of things we might be doing. That as things open up, to think of the needs of our community, not just through those organizations, but through parenting courses, marriage courses, life skills training. Who knows what we might be able to do to support people, which will give us an introduction through which we can share Christ and the love of God with people, not just in practical ways, but in the most profound way, to meet their spiritual helplessness and harassment. So that's the first picture Jesus used. The second is asking the Lord of the harvest. You see, as Jesus sees these harassed and helpless sheep without a shepherd, what do they need? Well, he knows they need a shepherd, and he is the good shepherd. That's why he's come. They need him. Well, he's now gone, though, hasn't he? He's now in heaven, and he's sent down his Holy Spirit to be with his people. And what does Jesus tell his disciples to do? Well, to ask the Lord of the harvest. And so here's our second picture, isn't it? As he looks out on the crowd of harassed and helpless sheep, he doesn't just see them like that, what they are, but he sees what they can be with his love. And that is a harvest for the Lord. As we look out on Ashton, we will see all the brokenness and the problems in all sorts of ways. But we need to see with those future-looking eyes of a potential harvest, because God's been bringing in a harvest over the last few years, slowly, and we want to pray for more of the same over the coming years. As we pray that there would be workers for the harvest who can take harassed and helpless sheep to the good shepherd so that they might come to know him and love him. Someone's called this little prayer in Matthew 9, 37, the other Lord's Prayer. Jesus' prayer that his people would pray consistently. Sorry, verse 38. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest fields. Gospel harvest workers, whether paid or unpaid. Because God's got this great strategy, hasn't he? He puts his people into every area of society. He doesn't just have church workers. He has his people, his harvest workers, in schools, in universities, in offices, whether it's BAE or the hospital, in streets all around Ashton, at the school gate, whether it's here at St. Andrew's or other primary schools or Archbishop Temple. God's got a wonderful plan, hasn't he? To spread his harvest workers right throughout society, that we can take Jesus with us wherever we go. And what Jesus says we are to do is to ask, to pray for more, and to be ready to be the answer to that prayer ourselves, to be willing to be involved in the harvest. But it all starts with prayer, which is why it's so wonderful we're doing the prayer course this term. This Thursday at the prayer meeting, we're going to shape the prayer meeting around the P-R-A-Y little pattern that Pete Gregg was sharing with us, about pausing, rejoicing, asking, and then going out, yielding our lives to the Lord. Hopefully that will be an encouragement for us all to meet together if we've been doing the course in particular. And then you might have seen on the Church Family WhatsApp group a few texts doing the rounds about the Archbishops of Canterbury and York saying, from tomorrow, 6 o'clock every evening, set aside 10 seconds, 30 seconds, a minute, whatever you can. It doesn't have to be exactly at 6 o'clock by Big Ben. To pray for our nation, to pray for our government, for the NHS, whether that's people on the front line in hospital or people out in the community dealing with all the broken families. To pray for those affected, those bereaved, those who are ill, those recovering, those who have lost jobs, lost income, whatever it might be. Pray as you feel led by the Lord. But the most important thing is to pray. Someone once said, the hinge of human history is the bended knee. If we want to see change, then the first thing to bend is our knees and our wills to God's will and watch him shape history. And that's what this review process is seeking to allow for us. It started in terms of the staff have discussed things, the standing committee, the women's ministry team, and the PCC have had initial discussions, but we're still at that initial discussion kind of phase, getting everything out into the open. It's been really encouraging so far. I've begun to have a few chats with people where that's been possible, to go for walks or to chat on the phone. It's clear that we're agreed generally about keeping this direction, to be loving God, sharing Christ, serving people here in Ashton. Wanting to be raising up gospel workers, harvest workers for our church family, but also to be sending them out like we've done with Dan and Geraldine, like we'll be doing with Joe and Kathy, like we're doing with Johnny and Katrina. And Sarah's wonderfully stayed with us in that one for us here. We want to be growing gospel workers for here, for Preston, and for the world. But we need to ask questions of ourselves, how we're going to achieve that. We need to make particular decisions about things like the evening service is something that's come up in a few discussions, and what we do with that, because that's not happened in nearly a year now. Will we restart it? Will we change it? Will we do something different altogether? Obviously, our relationship with the school is profoundly important in terms of our community relations and how we can best work together. It's really exciting. I'm going on a conference with Mr. Martin that the diocese are putting on, which is half of the vision strapline for the diocese, Healthy Churches Transforming Communities. It's all about transforming communities. I get to spend a day with Mr. Martin talking about how we can do that together at the beginning of March. Do you pray for that and for Mr. Martin and I as we chat about these things, because we long to work together in these ways. Thinking about some specific events we do and whether their time has come, maybe like the fireworks and things like that. We need to be ready to hold everything with an open hand, and to ask those kind of questions as we engage in this 10-year review. Because we are at an interesting stage as well in the size of church we are. A few years ago, I read this very helpful book, Ready, Steady, Grow, which describes four different sizes of churches. There's small, medium, and large, and then between medium and large, there's awkward as well. And whether we're sort of just at the top end of medium, tipping into awkward or not, I don't quite know. We're somewhere around that by the way he defines things. Which does beg very particular questions of us as to how we seek to be a healthy church family together. Asking those questions of ethos, which I think we're quite clear on, some specific questions, but all the church life in the middle that could be done a myriad of different ways. Training and equipping church family, whether that's a one-to-one approach or a group approach, to be growing us up in our knowledge and love of Christ so we're better able to serve him. As we approach our financial struggles and the impact that they're going to have on staffing. The good thing is, staff are the easiest thing for me to go and approach trusts and funds for outside help, as I used to do before 2015, to help us to fund Sarah and Dan and Geraldine. But do we want to be relying on that outside help or to be meeting that ourselves? Seeking to grow God's kingdom here in Ashton. And that's going to require everyone who sees themselves a part of our church family thinking about what gifts you have, what gifts God has given you by his Spirit with which you can serve him, his people, and the world. What your passion is, what you'd love to be doing. What your temperament is. How God has created you as a person and where you best fit into the life of the church family. And linked to that, I think, what your capacity is. Everyone's at different stages of life, with different pressures, different challenges from work, from family, from all sorts of things. And sometimes our capacity can be the most freeing or limiting aspect of the equation. So just as we finish, here's a few questions. They're on the service sheet to take away with you that might help you to start thinking in these kind of things. Because I've realized these are things I just think about from I open my eyes in the morning till I go to bed at night every day, day in, day out. Okay, this is just my bread and butter. But most of you have all sorts of other things to think about. So hopefully there is a help just for you to begin to think about this review process. What have you missed in church life during the last year with the restrictions? What have you not missed? It's an equally important question. What are you glad hasn't been happening? What would you love to see our church family doing? Maybe some of the things I've spoken about today have really, oh, wow, that'd be great to do more of that. That personal question, how would you like to be serving in the church family in 2 years? That's a nominal figure. That kind of, you know, not right now, not way in the future, but a midterm kind of thing. Is it the same as what you're doing and more or different or starting doing something? And then the general, any other comments, questions, thoughts, dreams or feedback to cover everything else. But I'd love to hear from you. We're at that stage where it's speak now or forever hold your peace kind of thing. Because this is going to shape the direction that we go as a church family for the next 5-10 years, God willing, and Jesus not returning. Well, let me draw things to a close there and allow us to just pause and reflect. Maybe there's something immediately that strikes you. Maybe there's something that you just want to commit quietly to the Lord, and then I'll pray the prayer set for this Sunday, and then we'll sing together. Who in the beginning commanded the light to shine out of darkness, we pray that the light of the glorious gospel of Christ may dispel the darkness of ignorance and unbelief, shine into the hearts of all your people, and reveal the knowledge of your glory in the face of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.